Welcome back to Around the Wheel Podcast. In this episode, I'm talking to an instructor who is dual certified with Motorcycle Safety Foundation and with the program that I wrote, the Motorcycle Education Program through Puget Sound Safety. And we're talking about some of my theories on learning and what makes me different from other instructors, how these different programs vary from MSF to the MEP. We'll be talking about the ways you can better select a rider program, regardless of what country you're in, what state you're in, and what's available to you. We're going to end up chatting about class size. Does a smaller class mean you get more education or better education, or are there advantages to a larger group? You might be surprised about our takeaways on this.
Thanks, Brett. Yes, Kevin Tussler here. I'm traditionally worked in tech and project management, certified project manager, and just retired as vice president of project management. And I've sort of embarked on my second career here as a motorcycle instructor. I'm certified in MSF and now PSS MEP, and starting to teach full time as an instructor.
Yeah, that's got to be really exciting. I'm also dual certified with the MSF, and I wrote the other curricula that you're currently working with. And you and I both, I've worked with Evergreen Safety Council, who's the other school you're working with. And of course, Puget Sound Safety is the school that we're both in. For those of you that are listening, Kevin and I today were hanging out on the range and watching a bunch of riders and evaluating the instructors when we were out there. And we got into a great conversation about rider education and learning styles. One of the things that came up on that was why in the off-road community, I don't teach multi-tier training. I'm not doing a level one, level two, or a beginner and advanced. And I even see flaws on this on the street side. And rather than us keeping that wonderful conversation to ourselves, we thought we'd bring it to you here on Around the Wheel. Kevin, we were discussing, well, let's back this up. You and I both teach multiple curricula, and there are pros and cons to these curricula. And I'm guessing if anybody's listening to us here, they're interested in becoming better riders. They may be looking for rider education. And whether it's the street, whether it's the dirt, it really doesn't matter, because it kind of boils down to the differences in instructors, the differences in learning styles, the difference in those that provide curricula. And what have you picked up now just getting certified in two different curricula side by side? What are some of the pros and cons you've seen in those different types of curricula?
There's a couple of different pros and cons I've seen. The MSF format and approach is very structured, very sort of linear in its approach, yet both are targeting adult learning. The PSS MEP structure is, I think, a little more flexible from the approach of the layout, the foundation, and how you can adapt to the students, their learning style. MSF is quite formal and structured and methodical in its approach. And I think there's benefits to both. It depends on how individuals learn. As an instructor, I find, or I'm finding, that the MEP approach gives me a wider range of flexibility and adjustment to adapt to what I perceive as the needs and the styles of each of the students.
Kevin, I think that's why you and I were really hitting it off as we were chatting, is you and I are both why people. I'm fine with people saying step by step, do this, do that, but I want to know why. How am I supposed to improve if I don't understand what the goal is?
Yes, very much. I would agree with that. I tend to very much want to understand the why. And my belief is that if I understand the why, then I've got the background and contextual information to be able to adapt and adjust. If I'm just given a set of instructions and told, go follow this, from my perspective, if that doesn't work, I don't really understand what to do next. I don't understand how to change it or adapt to something else if all I've been told is follow a set of instructions. Where if I understand the why, I know the goal and the outcome, I can be more flexible and adapt to changing situations and still achieve that goal.
Christina was just looking on one of the forums. She was on ADB Rider, and obviously still a very popular forum, and just looking through to see what people were looking for, what kind of training. And she ran across a thread where the riders were commenting on some of the past videos I made back when I was making the Moto Trek stuff. And they said, yeah, you know, I really like his stuff and it's a lot of fun, but he doesn't get real technical. He keeps it really basic. And it really made me think about, why do I do what I do? Now, a lot of that was edited out. And on my channel, the Brett Chax channel, I don't edit a lot of those details out anymore. I kind of leave them in there. But it occurred to me that I really don't go into those high technical areas because I believe we're all working on the same stuff. Whether I'm a professional rider or I'm a brand new rider, I still have a clutch, I still have a throttle, I'm still working on basic, I'm working on vision. All of these things are the same. The difference is how proficient I am, how much detail I understand. That's why I don't do multi-level, because every time I've tried to do a higher level training, I end up coming all the way back down the basics to try to fix that so I can get back up to the advanced stuff.
The more I think about that, that actually makes a lot of sense. There's so many areas and so many skills where when you're a novice, you go into it and think that there's all these varying levels of skills and advanced techniques. And very often I'm finding that you're absolutely correct. There isn't necessarily a different set of techniques you use. It's how fine and how precise you are with that technique and how you apply and utilize that technique, which makes you a more advanced rider. The actual principles and techniques themselves are the same.
And that comes back with practice. I'll hear people say, practice makes perfect. Anybody that's ever hung out with me knows I'm not a believer in that, because practice makes habits. What you practice makes the difference. And if you're not practicing perfect, then you're not going to develop the good habits. Hence the reason I take every rider back down to the core. So we're talking the same language. We have the same base. We have the same understanding. And then we're practicing the same skill sets until we become very advanced. It's the why. I don't want to teach people a formula to go up the steep hill and then a formula to go up the shallow hill. And then I want to go up a hill with a bump in the middle. And then I want to go up a hill with mud. I want to teach the why so that you understand exactly what's happening and you can make these adjustments on the fly. And again, focusing off-road is great, but it really lays true no matter what you're learning.
I like that. There's so many disciplines I've come across where if you master the core skills and the fundamentals, you've got the power to expand and go beyond that. And those that struggle so many times are those that I see that didn't master the fundamentals, those core essential skills, and that limits their growth and ability. And that way they think then that there's a different skill set that they should learn to be more advanced, when it really is mastering the fundamentals.
When I do the adventure stuff, and the way I mix these groups, because obviously you get people who are very basic and people who are very advanced. And on tours or things in motion, you do really want to match up rider ability before you go into the process. But in these closed course environments where you can really separate and change the challenges within the group, I can talk to that upper level, to a certain medium of an upper level, because those at the basic level, they're going to pick out the things they can understand and they're going to work on it. The people at the upper level, they're going to get a good review or they're going to fill in some blanks, but there may be some blanks left. But that's what coaching's for. Once they go riding, then I can either simplify or I can add detail or complexity based on the individual rider. Christina had put up a quote because I was talking to somebody and tried to explain my whole theory behind training riders. And I had said, look, I'm not interested in teaching people recipes. I want them to be chefs. And she put that up on my website. But unfortunately, unless you understood the context, it really didn't make sense. You're like, I don't get it. He's a motorcycle guy. Why is he talking about cooking? What I was trying to explain is when you first learn to cook, you get a recipe. It's like, okay, put this much sugar in, put this much flour in, put one egg in, and you mix it all together. And when you're done, ta-da, you have a cake. But chefs don't necessarily do that. Sometimes they'll have a base they start with, but then they go, I want a little bit sweeter. I want a little fluffier. I want it to have a little bit of tang in it, whatever it is. And they understand how each of these components interact with each other and how not to have too much or too little. And they create things that are magnificent but they're not following the recipe. They understand there are times when you have to diverge from that, or you have to adapt, or sometimes you have to break the rules within it. And that's what I meant by, I don't want to train people to be cooks. I want to train them to be chefs, chefs at writing.
I like that analogy. It makes a lot of sense. And I can observe that in the differences in the curriculums in teaching. One is very much, here's the ingredients, here's how you do this, put them together in this order. And another is, here's all the ingredients, here's what you want to create, apply it yourself, put it together yourself, and generate the outcome that you want. And I think that supports also the true adult learning notion, that you give them the sort of elements and let the student put them together, apply them, and get the result out of it that they want to have.
In the spirit of making the listeners, leaving them with something where they can really chew on it and go, this is something I can take with me to help myself get better. And often they're looking for training. They're looking for something that matches their learning style or their preferences. Because you have those two, the MEP, the motorcycle education program that I wrote, and that's with Puget Sound Safety, and then the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, the MSF course, which you have the new BRCU, which is a basic rider course U.
Yes.
One of the aspects that I'm interested in when it comes to training is I want riders to have responsibility for their success, and I want them to be able to understand how their success came about so they can replicate it in the future. I don't want people to just think about what I said. I want them to have experiences that make them go, oh, yeah, I remember what happened when I did that. I'm not doing that anymore. Or to have failures and go, all right, now I can adjust it, but don't have the failure in a place where you're going to get injured, hurt, or killed. What is the difference in these two curricula styles between the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, the MSF, and the PSS-MEP, the Puget Sound Safety Program? What are the differences in how those courses are conducted regarding rider ownership and responsibility? And more importantly, for those listening to us, how can riders look at potential education, whether it's a local track school or a local riding school? So many people are outside the country. They're not here in the US. They don't have access to either one of the programs we're talking about. What should they look for, and how do they differ? How do you get a program that gives you the opportunity to grow at your own rate?
To the first point, I think one of the differences in the curriculums that I've observed when it comes to the student learning is that with the MEP curriculum, there's the allowance of mistakes. Students are allowed to make mistakes. And what we're really looking for is, are they learning from that? Are they self-correcting? And are they building that ability to understand and analyze their own behavior and improve it next time around and third time around, etc. So that's one of the core differences I see there, is that ability to let students learn from mistakes, not just from correct application or from success. Because I think it's essential that as part of human learning, a lot of us learn better from our mistakes than we do from our successes.
I totally agree with that. I've seen it so many times. When I'm providing feedback, when I'm coaching, I'm always going, okay, this is what they need to improve. But before I do that, I reinforce all the things they did right. So they can disregard, they can go, okay, I'll replicate that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I've got it down. Now what do I focus on? And I think you're absolutely correct. If you don't have failure, just by definition, how can you have success without failure?
Yes, exactly. You don't understand success until you've encountered some failure as well.
And the greater the failure, the greater the success.
Yes.
Now think about the things you work the hardest for, that challenge you the most. When you succeed, how exciting you can get. It's just like, oh my God, I finally did it! You know, because you've worked so damn hard at it and you failed. I do that on so many things where I'm just like, oh my God, I'm just banging my head against the table going, geez, am I ever going to get this right? And when I do, I have such elation, so much excitement over it. I believe in training and learning that people need to be given that opportunity for failure. So let me throw it back to you, because I asked a question and I'm really excited to hear the rest of that answer of how the Motorcycle Safety Foundation and how the MEP, one which is more structured, one which feels more freelance, and how riders can look at the local options they have to go, which one fits me best? Let me throw that back at you.
Yes, and in thinking about that, I think it's important for each rider or each individual to recognize what's their best learning style. There are students that obviously like to be in a classroom setting, have the information fed to them in a structured and sort of linear fashion. There are those that like to have the ability to experiment, learn hands-on, try things. So I think first I would say for a rider looking for classes, understand how do you learn best and pick a class that's going to support your learning style. In any subject, whether it's motorcycle riding or anything else, finding that way that you learn will support you probably better and be a more successful endeavor. There's a lot of different ways also that students can look at learning. In addition to classes, which I haven't, I'll be honest, haven't had many of, but I've done a lot of reading. I've read a lot of books, you know, the Proficient Motorcycling, the More Proficient Motorcycling, and others to enhance my knowledge. And I find that I often like the sort of classroom or book setting first so that I understand the concepts and then go out and apply it. And I think for a prospective student, understanding, as we said earlier, are you somebody that's comfortable being given information and executing it, or do you want to understand the why, the context, the pros and cons, so that you have the foundation to go and now try it and apply it yourself? So looking for classes that or information that support that style, your approach to learning is something I would recommend first. And I also think now with the advent of the internet, which we didn't have sort of 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the ability to search for classes and get recommendations and find out about the class before you sign up is so much easier now than it was in the past.
Here's the challenge I run across with the internet. Obviously, when I teach adventure classes, I'm a premium. I'm not an inexpensive trainer, and the classes I run aren't the cheapest thing in town, not even close. But when you read the description on my website, or if you read the description on any hosting school that hosts the training that I do, whether it's Tour USA, whether it's Top Gun India, whether it's Thule Adventures down in Africa, whoever it is that I'm working with and doing training for, you'll see that it looks the same. Oh, we're going to work on clutch. We're going to work on braking. We're going to work on body position. We're going to work on vision. And I'm looking at pictures of local trainers and local schools and going, yep, they're going around cones and in dirt, and they're going to go around the trees, and then they're going up and down a hill. And from the observer looking for a class, they would go, okay, I see this school up north, and for $300, I get 2 days of training. Or I can go to Brett and it's going to cost me $900 to $1,000 for the same amount of time. And they're both going up hills and they're both going around cones and they're both talking about vision. When you observe the schools, when you attend the schools, they always come back and go, oh, yeah, this was definitely not the same. How does somebody figure that out before they go to a class? Because there is a difference in quality and information, but yet the pictures look the same. The descriptions look the same on the internet. How do we work around that? That's a tough question, isn't it?
It is. That's why I was pausing and thinking for a second. It is a tough question. And I was sort of thinking whether there is, for example, certain students that would serve as a reference afterwards. Not in the terms of giving a 4 or 5 star rating and writing 3 paragraphs or a couple of sentences on a web page and hitting submit, but in the sense of an advisor that I could call or a past student where I could ask the question of, this is what I want to get out of the training. Is this a good class to support that or enable that for me?
Well, and the other thing I throw in there is that For me, getting in a class with me can be frustrating for a lot of people. It's going to be very difficult. I think people who come to me are lucky. It's pretty easy to go, we know what we're going to get. If you show up and you take a class with Brett or Brett and Paul, you know what you're going to get. And I think that's very helpful in that regard. But I think there is something to be said about finding an instructor who that is their profession versus an instructor who does it as a side gig or a side job. Somebody who doesn't just study motorcycle techniques, but for myself, you know, I study human psychology. I get into adult learning theory and Kolb and Knowles and how that all works. And I look at things like aging. What's the natural aging process for a human? Not just physical, because I have to work around those physical limitations of riders. Those are real considerations where I go, hey, you should do it this way, but you can't. So now, how do we, using the physics and the understanding of why, how do we work around that limitation? I've had people come to me with one leg. I've had people come to me with non-functional hands. I've had people come to me that are really, really short. I have people come to me who can't stand up. They don't have knees at work anymore. And they still want to ride. And I'm totally fine working with those people, because if you understand the whys, then you go, let's work around that. And let's make that happen. But also, when we look at aging, it's not just about these injuries that happen in life or natural aging limitations, but also learning. We don't learn the same when we're 30 as when we're 50 or 60 or 70. Understanding the way our mind works and how that works is a lot of what I bring to the training I bring out there. So again, you look at the picture and you go, oh, look, people are going over logs, they're going through sand. But what you don't see is all the details that are behind all of that. And that's, again, I think that's the hard thing for people to see. And are they full-time professionals, part-time professionals? I think those are some casual ways that riders can try to disseminate one from another.
I like that. I was thinking the idea of putting a little more bio on some of the instructors on the sort of approach they take, the style, their educational delivery strength or capabilities, or a way of better matching students with instructors, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense to me. I have a certain energy level that helps a lot of people, but also I know sometimes I have to calm down to work with different people. I worked with two instructors, Paul, and we had another gentleman I worked with for 2009 to 2020. This other instructor was an engineer, and his interpersonal skills were at the least lacking. Mm-hmm. He was a numbers guy. He could offend you and never know he did, but he was detailed. The number of times I sat in the back of the classroom just scribbling notes like crazy because of the detail he's putting in while half the students were asleep was amazing. If you like that detail, if you like that structure, if you like the tell me, don't let me do it, he was a perfect fit. And then you have Paul on the other side. And Paul's fantastic. He can take an incredibly complex thing and just make it very, very simple and hilarious. Humor is a huge part of his teaching style. And I think that's wonderful. People underestimate the value of humor while learning. If you are laughing, your retention for learning goes way up.
That is true in so many areas. And I've seen that and used humor so many times because it relaxes people and then de-stresses part of the environment. And the less stress you have, negative stress, the more easily you understand and retain information, the better you learn. It makes it more memorable and enjoyable for so many students.
All right. I have one more question I want to throw out to you. Going back to these two curricula that you were talking about earlier, the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, the MSF, and the MEP program, the Puget Sound Safety, the one that I wrote, we have a difference in student volume. We have a significant difference in the number of riders we train at any given time. Hey, let's go with that. Mm-hmm. The question I'm going to ask you is, does the size of the class matter? Meaning, does a larger class mean that you're going to get less riding time and less instruction than a smaller class? Should you always go for the smaller class size?
I think the most important element of this is engagement. how engaged are the riders? How engaged are the students? How do you, as an instructor, make them engaged and feel like they want to participate, that they're gaining valuable information that they can retain and use? And so I don't necessarily think that 4-to-1 is always better than 15-to-1 or 16-to-1. I think it comes down to, how do we make this a compelling engagement? Even my experience in business, the more engaged you get people, the more that they contribute, the more they put in, the more they feel they have a stake in the outcome. And that's what I think is really important for the students here, is them feeling like they're engaged, they're working on an outcome that means something to them, and they want to put in the effort and get out the reward that really supports their goals.
That's one of the things I've seen looking at other schools where they have a very limited 1-to-6 ratio or 1-to-8 ratio. I've taken classes with professionals that had 15 riders to 1 and learned far more than the classes where it was a 1-to-4 ratio. And my classes are generally on the higher side for volume, but yet I'm still getting a premium out of it. You know, I think that's a great point to end on. And I want to thank you for jumping on the Around the Wheel podcast with me to help share your experiences and your knowledge with the listeners out here. For all of those who are listening to the podcast, I do want to remind you that this is fully supported through Patreon and Patreon only. And that's how I help pay for all the hosting fees and all the equipment to make this keep going. If you're not already a Patreon supporter, I highly encourage you to please consider it. And if you can't afford it, then by all means, don't let that deter you from listening to the podcast, watching the videos, and sharing the word and spreading the word. This is all about making riders better, making the world better. And I'm more interested in making your life as enjoyable as possible while you're here. And let me remind you, when you're riding, always smile, no matter how wet you are, no matter how cold you are, no matter how tired you are, because a bad attitude is going to have you make poor decisions, and attitude matters. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Brett.